I don't know about you, but we don't half get some stuff through the letterbox around Christmas. Special appeals from this charity or that attempt to push the compassion buttons. And not surprisingly, really, since the world seems prepared to become a kinder, gentler, more generous place around Christmas. And the other things arrive. Cards aplenty, and with many of them, the circular letters and bulletins that come with the Christmas cards. You get them too, I'm sure. With many tales of overachieving children and grandchildren and the delighted musings of proud parents. It's also threatening. No one's children in these Christmas letters seems to get dropped from the rugby team or end up on a blanket outside Marks and Spencer's or be seeing the probation officer regularly. Oh no, they're all representing their county, being ducks of their school, travelling on a fundraising trip to Thailand in an open-top Volkswagen Beetle. Pressure. Maybe my friends have just been lucky. Or some of them. Occasionally Christmas cards bring the odd bit of bad news, don't they? An old university friend from St Andrew's days wrote, "Lorna and I have separated," his card said. "This will be a rather different Christmas." Another tells how her husband has been diagnosed with motor neuron disease. Mixed signals, mixed messages, sorrow in amongst the celebrations. As always happens at this time, different experiences creating different perspectives. One person very upbeat, another profoundly sad, one caught up in the carnival, another chilled by bitter, sore memories or hard loss. I'm increasingly getting that sense of mixed signals, mixed messages over this Christmas. For example, I'm having to rethink and resist that tendency to get a bit po-faced about the secular world and its attempt to hijack the religious celebration and strip it of profundity and meaning, turning it instead into a spend fest of excess, a way of doing Christmas that is unashamedly market-driven. The pressure, the pace, the plastic, all of them red hot. It can get ugly. Christmas can loom, as if it was ever meant to loom. And yet there seem to me to be increasingly new dimensions within even the secular experience of Christmas, a kind of turning out towards others that is refreshing, human and humbling, an increased awareness that this is a time for generosity towards the cold, the outcast and the forgotten. A focal point of secular charitable concern, Christmas, that is a challenge to the sometimes rather priggish high-mindedness of the church that we can sometimes fall into. For example, the Times newspaper has its chosen charities this year. We'll raise thousands of pounds, tens of thousands of pounds. Nourishing Minds, providing a wonderful Christmas dinner for 7,000 children in Malawi. Or Buy a Goat, Not a Coat. Buy some chickens, dig a well. A sort of right on Christmas, stripped bare of all the baloney. There's something going on out there, something refreshing that's quietly impressive and genuinely humane. And perhaps we ought not to be too snooty about it as the charitable appeals cascade the Niagara of need through our letterbox, such that perhaps the brash garish world of Christmas is being illuminated by a softer light, the identification of need, the response to it from people who appreciate in ways that might surprise us that indeed there is more to Christmas than a cosy, comfy time just for ourselves and our family. A truth the church has been banging on about for so long, it's almost become a cliche. Certainly the elements of that charitable dimension are written through the story. The Song of Mary that we read, with its cutting edge of radicalism, its mixed messages of good news for the poor and oppressed, and its challenge to the oppressor and the indifferent. A true rebel song. It tells of a Christ who will assault the citadels of the proud with the power of his truth, and makes it clear beyond peradventure where the commitment of God lies. With whom the commitment of God lies, with the despised and the outcast, with the broken and the defeated. Apparently, according to Mary, it's quite hard to find yourself near him if you insist on your pride, prerogatives and power. You will not find him so readily among the great and the influential. Rather, you will find Mary's son out there in the cold with the losers and the lost. The story is full of the mixed messages of glory and gold, gifts of humility and vulnerability. The story is crammed with great mysterious kings with their treasures, the bleary-eyed shepherds with their questions and their gruff wonder. Mixed messages of welcome and affirmation, of rejection and hate. Mixed messages of new life and inevitable death. The gold of kingship, the myrrh of the ice-cold tomb. Mixed messages of humanity and divinity. The child, warm flesh, vulnerable and compact. God with us, the miracle of the incarnation. History and drama intermingled to make the greatest story ever told. Mixed signals, angel voices bidding welcome, wicked kings ordering slaughter, a child's cry as it embraces life, the wail of mothers as they weep for their massacred innocence. We must never think this is a simple narrative, easily understood. And in the human response to the event, even now, all the crossed lines and complexity, the increase in the suicide rate over the Christmas season, at the very time when the world is supposed to be at its most happy. The contrast between rich and poor, never more stark and painful, the sumptuous presents, the haunting debt, families coming together, the shocking pain of separations and ancient bitterness felt all the more sorely. Families happy and complete and together. Families feeling the sharpened twist of painful loss and cruel separations. The air is filled with the mixed signals of Christmastide. And none more searching than the tension between those for whom this is an event of profoundest religious significance and those who want it stripped of any kind of religious import. A holiday, pure and simple. No way, a holy day, thank you very much. Happy holiday versus Merry Christmas. Those who, as the haunting carol says, have winter, but no Christmas. The air is filled with more than angel voices. It's filled with mystery and intrigue, choices and interpretations. Each Christmas season, the issue remains. How do we understand this event? How deeply do we let it reach us? Which message will we hear among the mixed messages that will vie for our attention? Which signal will we allow ourselves to respond to? That's the question.